It's estimated that up to 50% of those of us diagnosed with ADHD experience some sort of sleep problems. Many of us with ADHD experience a poor sleep cycle, which can lead to increased forgetfulness, increased distractibility, and an increase in the inability to follow through on tasks, which then results in increased anxiety, which could lead to you ruminating at night as you're trying to fall asleep over everything that you did not get done during the day. That's why on this Healthy ADHD Habits video, we are going to dive into the question of, does ADHD cause insomnia or other sleep problems, as well as discussing some strategies to help you get to sleep, stay asleep, and wake up easier. All of that on this episode of the ADHD Mompreneur. Welcome to the ADHD Mompreneur podcast. I'm your host, Christy Lingo. I'm a mom and entrepreneur with over a decade of experience in both. I also have ADHD, so I know firsthand how difficult it can be to navigate the neurotypical world as a mompreneur with a neurodivergent brain. And since you've probably already stopped paying attention to this boring introduction, let's go ahead and jump into today's episode. Many of us with ADHD struggle to fall asleep, stay asleep, or wake up from sleep the following morning. And when we struggle with one or more of these aspects of sleep, we also see an increase in our ADHD symptoms and executive function deficits. And I don't know about you, but as a busy mom trying to juggle family life and running a business, I cannot afford to have any executive function deficits. There is little research, but a lot of theories as to how ADHD impacts our sleep. Some theorize that it's due to dysregulation of neurotransmitters and how that impacts our arousal and attention cycles. Others think it may be due to our struggles with impulsivity. Others blame it on stimulant medications, but I will say I have met plenty of unmedicated ADHDers who also struggle with sleep. It could be that whatever allows you to focus for 19 hours on creating a photo book for your mom's birthday is the same hyperfocus that doesn't allow you to fall asleep because you keep playing over and over the stupid thing that you said to some kid's mom at a birthday party 2 years ago, and you're wondering if that's the reason why she never called you for a playdate. While there aren't a lot of answers as to why so many of us with ADHD struggle with sleep, I can answer some sleep-related questions for you. So let's start with, can ADHD cause insomnia? Insomnia is defined as habitual sleeplessness or the inability to sleep. Because ADHD impacts the regulation of brain activity, this could result in an inability to sleep. And many experts also believe that the type of ADHD that you have may impact the type of sleep that you have. For instance, those with inattentive type may be more likely to be night owls and have later bedtimes. Those with hyperactive type are more likely to experience insomnia. And those with combined type often experience poor quality sleep and have a tendency to stay up late. To be honest, science isn't 100% sure why any of us, ADHD or not, struggle to sleep. But what they do know is the impact that poor quality sleep can have on our lives. For us ADHDers, our already struggling executive function has even less in the tank to help us problem solve, prioritize, organize, focus, follow through, initiate tasks, pretty much do anything. Like anything. But insomnia isn't the only sleep problem those of us with ADHD may encounter. You may also experience delayed circadian rhythms, which means that the natural genetic tendency to rise with the sun and fall asleep when it goes down is somehow impaired. This could be biological, meaning that there's a reason your body isn't releasing the hormone melatonin, which tells your body that it's time to sleep. Or it could be influenced by the use of indoor lighting or blue lights in screens, which can interfere with our biological clocks. Those of us with ADHD also have an increased likelihood of restless leg syndrome, which may cause them to feel uncomfortable, tingling, or we have an uncontrollable urge to move our legs. And do you want to know the suspected reason that many of us with ADHD experience restless leg syndrome? Well, it all comes back to our good friend dopamine. Dopamine is involved with controlling muscle movement, and disruption of dopamine can cause an increase in involuntary muscle movements. This is the reason why some of us with ADHD experience things throughout the day, like an urge to tap our fingers or bounce our foot or shift in our seats constantly. As many as a third of us with ADHD also struggle with sleep disordered breathing, like snoring or sleep apnea. These sleep disorders drastically decrease the quality of sleep that you get. So this means that even if you are able to fall asleep, stay asleep, and wake up in the morning, because your sleep quality was so poor, you still may experience executive function issues. But just because we have a higher likelihood for disturbed sleep doesn't mean we just have to lie down and take it. There are plenty of strategies we can put in place that can help to answer the question, what helps ADHDers sleep? Many of these are behavioral changes that won't even cost you any money to implement, but may make a major impact on your ability to fall asleep, stay asleep, and wake up the next morning. First, try creating a calming bedtime routine. Start by thinking about what relaxes you. Is it a warm shower or a warm glass of milk? Is it sex or reading? Whatever it is, and it doesn't have to be complicated or long and drawn out, you just need to be able to put it into place and perform it regularly to signal to your brain it is time to wind down and go to sleep now. Speaking of signaling to your brain, it is very important for those of us with ADHD to shut down the screens a few hours before we go to bed. Now, trust me, I know how difficult this is. But as we talked about earlier, the blue light that comes out of television screens or tablet and cell phone screens can disrupt the secretion of melatonin, which signals to your body that it is time to relax and go to sleep. Turning off screens a few hours before you want to go to sleep can help you to re-regulate the secretion of melatonin and help you to actually start to fall asleep faster. It can also be beneficial for you to cut off your intake of caffeine, sugar, or alcohol a few hours before you go to bed. Sugar and caffeine are stimulants, so it makes sense that eating those so close to when you want to go to bed would prevent you from falling asleep. And even though alcohol does make many of us sleepy, it can impact the quality of sleep that you have. So you may actually sleep through the night, but that sleep is going to be poor quality and you're going to wake in the morning not feeling quite as refreshed as you would if you had avoided the alcohol. So it's best to switch to water or perhaps some herbal tea a few hours before you go to sleep. In terms of your bedroom, do what you can to make it as dark and as cool as possible. In general, humans sleep best when it is just a little bit chilly and when there's no light creeping in. You may also want to try a white noise machine or a fan if you find that the quiet causes your head to spin a little bit as you're trying to fall asleep. In terms of habits that can help improve your sleep quality, getting regular physical activity is a big one. In addition to burning through some of that extra hyperactivity energy that you might have stored up throughout the day, Studies have shown that regular physical activity can actually help improve sleep quality and reduce instances of sleep apnea. And a 2020 controlled trial found that HIIT workouts helped participants to improve the quality of sleep by increasing the amount of time that they slept and lowering the number of times that they woke up after they had fallen asleep. For a deeper dive on how exercise can impact your ADHD, be sure to check out my Exercise and ADHD episode that's linked in the show description below. Keeping a regular schedule can also go a long way in improving the quality of your sleep. And while I know many of you might not be thrilled with the idea of going to bed early or waking up early on your days off, keeping consistent sleep and wake times is kind of crucial to improving your sleep quality and improving your executive function. I do have two quick purchase suggestions I'd like to make in addition to the behavioral changes we just discussed. First, you could try a weighted blanket. Now, I am a perimenopausal woman who wakes up roasting in the middle of every night, so it didn't work for me, but my 10-year-old son swears by his. The second suggestion is to subscribe to an app like Calm or Headspace where you can listen to sleep stories. This gives you something to focus your energy and attention on as you fall asleep rather than the racing thoughts in your head. It may take some time to train your brain to focus on the story, but I will say that once you do, it will dramatically decrease the amount of time that it takes for you to fall asleep. And if all else fails, talk to your doctor. You don't have to just deal with it when it comes to poor sleep quality. And hopefully, after hearing how lack of sleep can impact your health and your executive function, you're feeling motivated to put together a solid sleep plan, especially if you are a busy ADHD mom trying to juggle all the things that come along with your family and your business. And as we wrap up this episode in my Healthy ADHD Habits series, I'm curious how you would rate your sleep on a scale of 1 to 10. 1 being, I haven't slept a wink, and 10 being, I'm a kitty cat in a sunbeam. Drop me a comment below with your number or leave me a voicemail at the link in the show description. And if you haven't already, be sure to check out my other two Healthy ADHD Habit videos. I've got one about ADHD and exercise and another about ADHD and eating. It's also a good idea for you to go ahead and follow or subscribe to this podcast because I've got lots of great episodes coming in 2024 to help you juggle all the things that come along with being a mom and a business owner with ADHD. Thank you so much for listening to this episode of the ADHD Mompreneur Podcast. If you're a business-owning mom with ADHD, you're going to need to grab my free, customizable, essential checklists for ADHD mompreneurs by visiting bit.ly/checklistsforADHDmompreneurs or by following the link in the episode description. To keep up with my latest episodes, make sure you hit the follow or subscribe buttons. And do it now, before you forget. Until next time,